If you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We wrapped up our old series last week, our summer series on the parables. And this morning we're kicking off our new fall series titled, What We Value. And then I'm putting the end of it, Take Two, okay? Now I'm calling it Take Two because we actually did a series with the same title almost 2 years ago. And even though we're going to be looking at the same topics, it's actually a new series that we're going to be walking through, new information, new things about this stuff. But the series will once again be taking us through our core values as a church, which this is our core values. You see them up around there. Our core values are we value God's Word, right? We value worship. We value obedience. We value people. We value authenticity. And we value simplicity. Now, the interesting thing is when Stacy and I started on this journey of planning a church here in Dallas, which it's hard to believe that it started almost 5 years ago when this journey started. And when we started, we were asked to be a part of our district's first church planning cohort. There was people planning churches that said, we need to do something about planning churches. So they started this cohort and they said, hey, would you guys be a part of our first church planning cohort? And so there was us with about four or five other couples that started in this cohort. And as part of this cohort, we had to develop a couple things. One, we had to develop a mission statement of who we felt God was calling us to be as a church. And then we had to develop our core values. Now, the weird thing was the mission statement, man, it just came easily. It's like I just heard the Lord clearly say that we're to love Him, right? We're to love people, and we're to extend His kingdom. And that's our mission statement, right? Loving God and loving people to extend His kingdom. That just came easy. It was like, now, what's funny, it came easy, and at first I'm like, oh, it's too simple, God. I need something cool and fresh and exciting. God's like, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what worked back then is going to work today, right? And so I'm like, okay, right, God, that's true. That's really what we should be. Love God, love people, extend His kingdom. I mean, what better mission statement can we have? And so that came easy. But it was interesting because the core values, that was a huge challenge for Stacy and I. When we first started, we were like, oh, what are our core values? And we just start jotting down things, right? And like within the first 5 minutes, we had like 15 to 20 things that were our core values. It's like, oh, is that too many core values to have, you know? And it was at that time that I had a conversation with another pastor. I was talking about this and just figuring out your values. And I'd actually asked him, hey, how did you come up with your values and those kind of things? And I was sharing this information. And in that conversation, he said something to me that I thought was very profound. He said this. He said, Darren, you got to remember, if you value everything, then you really value nothing, right? Think about that. If you value everything, then you value nothing. If everything's important, well, then really nothing's important, right? Because everything's important, so that makes nothing important. And so I began to think about that, and that statement caused Stacy and I to really think, okay, what do we value? What are the really important things? And there are a lot of things that are important, right? And there's a lot of things that we want to be as a church. But as we thought about who God was calling us to be as a church, as we thought about what are those values, we had to break it down and say, okay, who are we? And so after many hours of praying and seeking the Lord, we narrowed it down to these six core values. And it was difficult, but we knew as we prayed, it was like, okay, this is it. What about this? No. These are the six. We're going to stick with six, and it's good. Now, when we walked through this series 2 years ago, it was interesting. Many people commented about how much they enjoyed hearing and understanding what these values meant to us as a church. Because the reality is, these words can mean different things to different people, right? I mean, you look at these words, and you may have a different view of what simplicity is than me, right? We can all have different views of what these words mean. So what are we saying when we say we value worship? What does that mean to us as a church? What are we saying when we say we value simplicity? That's the most difficult one. People can take that and go, oh, simplicity. I'm like, No, that's not what we were thinking when we were talking about simplicity, you know? And some people took simplicity as negative. Oh, you just want to sit around and do nothing. No, that's not what we're saying either, right? And so what are we saying when we say these things? And that's what this series is all about. And that's what this series will help us to understand. And I think it's important that if you call Dallas Four Square Church your church, it's important that you know and understand who we are and who God has called us to be, because you are the church. We are the church. Now, in January of last year, I go away and I just spend some time every January to just kind of pray for the future, vision, all that kind of stuff. And so in January, as I was praying for our church, the Lord at that time, He reminded me of the importance of these values. And it was then that I had decided that I was going to revisit these topics at least every couple years, right? Because at first I'm like, well, should I do this every year? And in that, I just thought, no, I'm going to do that every couple years. Because the fact is, we continue to grow as a church, right? New people are coming to our church each and every week. And so it's important that all of us, even people that are new, know what we are about as a church. What is it that we truly value? Because the reality is, if we look at these values, if we're looking up here and we're like, I don't know that I value that. I don't know that that's important to me, right? If you're sitting there and you're looking at those values and saying, man, maybe those aren't really important to me, then maybe we have to ask ourselves, or you have to ask yourself, is this where God has called me to be? Because if I can't get behind the values of this church, then is that where I'm supposed to be? And if not, that's okay. I'm not sitting here going, oh, who has these values? All right, now, right, raise your hand. Oh, get out of my church. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? Because if not, that's okay. Yes, the reality is we love new people coming to our church, and we hope everyone that walks in those doors back there feels loved and welcome and experiences the love of the Lord in this place. But I don't want people to stay here if this isn't where God has called them, right? If this isn't where they're supposed to be. Because like I've said before, we have to go where God is calling us to go. We have to be where God is calling us to be. And a good way to know if we're where we should be is if we have the same values of that place, right? So over the next 6 weeks, we're going to be walking through each of these values, kind of hoping to give each of us kind of a better idea of who God has called us to be as a church. And this morning we're going to start with the first one there, with God's Word. Because I believe it's one of the greatest gifts that God has given us, right? It is the operating manual for the Christian life. It gives us direction in this world that we live in. Now, I'm pretty sure many of you remember the old Sunday school song, the B-I-B-L-E, right? I think most of us, if you were in Sunday school at all back in the days, we remember, you know, the B-I-B-L-E, right? You know, the B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. And now I sing it a little fast, but that's the song. And there's that verse in there, right? There's that verse that says this. It says, I stand alone on the Word of God. Think about that. That's a pretty strong statement, right? That's a pretty powerful statement. It's basically saying that everything I believe, everything I base my life upon, comes from this, from God's Word. It comes from the Bible. And so I guess the question we have to ask ourselves, I mean, if we're singing that song, is that true? Is that true of us? Do we believe everything it says? Do we base our life upon that? Is that true? It should be true. And if we say it's true, then the truth is we need to know His Word, and we need to know what it says, right? What's in it? Because a lot of us, oh yeah, but we're like, well, what about, and we don't know what's in it. Yeah, I believe in God's Word. How do you believe in God's Word if you haven't even opened it up and read to know if you believe what it says, right? And the only way that we can know what it says is if we're reading it. The truth is, the only way we can truly live life, the life that God desires us to live, is if we allow His Word to get into our hearts. John Piper, who is a famous, well-known pastor and speaker and author too, says this. He says, if you don't read the Word and memorize the Word and meditate on the Word daily and delight in the Word and savor it and have your mind and emotions shaped by the Word, you will be a weak Christian at best. How many of you just felt the dagger just... Oh, ouch, that hurts. Because I know what he just said, I don't always do. I'm your pastor, and I have to admit, I get in the Bible each week, but that's because I gotta prepare a message. And I know sometimes that's the only reason I've gotten in the Bible. I know that I need to get into it for myself. I need to read it and know. And when I hear something like that, it's like, oh my goodness. Am I a weak Christian? Because the reality is there's a lot of weak Christians out there. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a weak Christian. Because what happens to the weak? Think about it. The weak are often devoured by the predators, right? You know, I don't know how many of you watch, you know, Discovery Channel. Or actually, you know where I go back to, and some of you, you know, this is still how old I am. I go back to Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. Right? Do you remember that? Marlon Perkins, man, Sundays at 5? I mean, I loved, you know, Mutual of Omaha, Wild Kingdom, you know? And when you go watch these old videos, what do the predators do? They look for the weakest one, right? They're looking for that weak gazelle, right? That weak antelope that's kind of back and maybe got the limp or whatever. And they're like, oh yeah, dinner's tonight, right? And they pounce on the weak. They take them out. The predators, they pounce on the weak. And here's the thing. The enemy is the same way. He looks for the weak and he pounces on them. I don't want to be a weak Christian. I want to be a strong Christian. And one of the ways that we can grow in our strength is by taking time to read His Word, to grow in who He is and who He's called us to be. By making it one of our core values, right? And allowing it to not just be words on a page, but to be something that actually penetrates our hearts. But the problem is, many of us fail to take advantage of this amazing resource that God has given us. It's something that in today's world, it's so easy to get your hands on, right? I mean, we can pull them up on our phones, right? You got Bible apps. The Bible is readily at our fingertips. But yet we still fail to read it. I want to show a quick little video here. It's kind of a funny video, and I hope it works well. I know it was kind of off of YouTube, and it might be a little pixelated and small, but it's actually an old FedEx commercial that aired during the 2007 Super Bowl, okay? Now, you have to go back to 2007 to understand this video. It's a spoof from the old Tom Hanks movie Castaway. I don't know if you remember watching that. It came back. It must have come out in like 2006 or so because it was a 2007 Super Bowl. And so they're spoofing this old Tom Hanks Castaway. But it's a great illustration of what I'm talking about this morning. So I want to show you this video.
Hi.
Hi.
I was marooned on an island for 5 years with this package. And I swore that I would deliver it to you because I work for FedEx.
That's very admirable. Thank you.
Hey, but by the way, what's in the package?
Nothing really. Just a satellite phone, GPS locator, fishing rod, water purifier, and some seeds. Just silly stuff. Thank you again. You keep up the good work.
It's a pretty funny commercial. Super Bowl worthy, right? but could you imagine, I mean, being stranded on an island for 5 years, right? Now, who would really save the box, right? You'd open up and everything in it. But could you imagine being stranded on an island for 5 years and finding out, you know, that you had all the resources right there in the palm of your hand to survive and to be rescued off that island. it would be heartbreaking. I mean, you could just imagine, right? But here's the thing. So often, we're like that man in life, right? We feel lost and we wander around trying to figure things out, trying to find answers. And the fact is, the answers are right here. They're at our fingertips. They're right next to us. And we're just missing them out. If we just take time to stop and to open up His Word and to allow God to reveal these answers to us. Inside this book right here are the resources we need to be rescued and survive in this thing called life. And so I want to start this morning by opening it up and reading to you this morning. And so if you have your Bibles, you can read along with me out of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Just two verses this morning, but two very powerful verses that Paul gives to us in regard to Scripture, in regard to God's Word. This is what it says. It says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Now it starts off there by telling us that all Scripture is God-breathed. And I think it's important for us to realize that even though it may have been written down by man, it may have been penned by man, we, as a denomination, as a church here, we believe that the Bible, from the very beginning, from Genesis all the way to the end, to Revelation, we believe it's the infallible Word of God, that it's verbally inspired by God, and that it's without error. That this is the truth. And that's why we value God's Word. That's why it's one of our core values. And it's been given to us to help us grow in our relationship with the Lord. Now, Paul tells us here what the Bible is for, right? He basically tells us three things. He says it's useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness. Which basically means this, and I always got to put it in Ron Mell's words. If you don't know, Pastor Ron Mell has gone to be with the Lord, but amazing man from Beaverton. And the way he said this, you've heard me say it before. But basically what this scripture means is this. It tells us what to do. That's the teaching. It tells us what not to do. That's the rebuking. And then it tells us what to do when we didn't do what we should have done in the first place, which is the correcting and training in righteousness. And so we hear that scripture, and the question we have to ask ourselves is, why is this important? Why is it important that we know what to do, what not to do, you know, and what to do when we didn't do what we should have done in the first place? And it's because if we value relationship with the Lord, if we truly want to live the lives that He's called us to live, then we need to know how to do that. And like I said, God's Word, it's the operations manual. It's the operating manual for the Christian life. The fact is there are voices everywhere in this world. All around us are voices that are telling us how we should live our lives, right? I mean, you turn on the TV, you turn on the radio, you walk into a building, wherever you go, there's voices, there are people always telling us how we should live our lives, telling us what's right, telling us what's wrong. Now, here's the thing. Some of those voices may be right, but many of them haven't got a clue what they're talking about, right? And the question we have to ask ourselves is how are we determining what is right and what is wrong? And as a church, we believe that this book, God's Word, should be our guide. It should be our moral compass, right? That guides and directs us through this thing called life and helps us to decipher and tell what is the truth. What is truth and what is lies? Jesus Himself, He knew and He understood the importance of God's Word. He understood the importance of knowing the truth. And the night before He was crucified, as He was praying to God in the garden, right? He was praying to God. It was in John 17:17. He said this. He said, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is the truth." Right? The Word of God is truth. It's what our lives should be lined up against. And that's what Jesus was saying, that we need to understand and know the truth. And are we, as Christians, are we walking in the truth? Are we able to even identify what the truth is? If we're not reading the Word, if we're not taking time to let His Word get from the pages here into our heart, then we're not going to know the truth. We're not going to know what to do. We're not going to know what not to do. We're not going to know what to do when we didn't do what we should have done in the first place. Now, one of the problems is, I think a lot of us, we just think that we know the Scriptures, right? I remember the Scriptures. I know the Scriptures. I'm good. We think we know them, and we don't feel it's important for us to continue to read them. But if you remember, last week I talked about how we can read the same Scripture and God gives us new things, right? Fresh, new things out of the Scriptures. Or maybe some of us think, well, I know enough to get by. I know enough, I'm good. I know enough to get by. Because I know that's a lot of us. We want to just know enough to get by. That's how I was in school, man. I'm like, oh, if I just enough to get by. That's all I care about. I don't need any more. But here's the thing. Knowing Scripture and knowing the Scriptures are two totally different things. Let's try a little test this morning, okay? Now, don't answer out loud for fear of incriminating yourself, okay? Don't even nod, because I'll look at you and I'll try not to laugh at you, okay? No, I'm just kidding, because I would have messed up half these anyways. But we're going to try a little test. You don't have to answer out loud, but just think to yourself, which of the following phrases are actually in the Bible? Okay? Because I guarantee you, most people in the world would say every single one of these. How about this one? Cleanliness is next to godliness. Okay, we hear it all the time. We hear it as if it were Scripture. How about this one? God helps those who help themselves, right? And the reality is that's so untrue, because we can't help ourselves. We're helpless, and God still helps us, right? How about this one? The Lord works in mysterious ways. We say that all the time. Is it Scripture, though? How about this one? The eye is a window to the soul. How about this? In all things, moderation. How about confession is good for the soul? How about this one? Money is the root of all evil. Or honesty is the best policy. I mean, these are all things we hear, and many of us think that they're, yeah, those are Scripture. No, guess what? None of these are actually Scripture. Some of them are taken and manipulated, but it's not actual Scripture and what it says. And my point is this, is that it's easy to manipulate the Scripture. And many of us go, oh yeah, that's true. But if we don't know the Scripture, then we don't know whether it's true or not. And we do this all the time. We do it ourselves. We pull Scripture out of context, right, to make it work for us. Oh yeah, the Scripture, yeah, that's me. That means this. You know, we stand strong, but it's like, no. If you go to the context, that is not at all what it means, right? We try to make it say what it doesn't actually say. And here's the thing. The Bible can't say what it didn't say. Now, we can try to make it and try to believe, but the Bible can't say what it didn't actually say. And the thing is, the enemy uses this against us all the time, right? It's one of the enemy's greatest tools to twist or to manipulate the Scriptures just enough to get us to fall for it. He tried it with Jesus when he tempted him in the desert. Let me read the Scripture, Matthew 4, verses 5 through 7. I think we have it to put up on the screen. It says this, it says, "Then the devil took him to the holy city, and he had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. And listen, for it is written." What is he saying there? Well, the Bible says this. The Scriptures say this. "He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Yes, it was Scripture, but he was taking it out of context, right? And then Jesus responded with him. He said, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." You see, the enemy, he tried to use Scripture to manipulate Jesus. Can you believe that, right? But here's the thing. Jesus didn't fall for it. Why? Because Jesus knew the Scriptures. And he knew that the enemy was trying to manipulate him. He knew that it wasn't the truth. He knew that he was taking it out of context. And the problem is we fall into these traps all the time. And the only way we're going to be able to stop falling into these traps is if we know the Scripture. That if we know His Word, so that we don't fall into the traps of the enemy. His Word needs to be written on our heart, and it tells us this in Deuteronomy 6. I have this Scripture too, I think, to go up. Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 9, it says this: "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates." You see, God knows and wants us to know how important His Word is, right? It's His breath. It breathes life into our souls. And when we take time to read it and allow it to penetrate our hearts, we're changed. We know and we understand what is truth and what isn't. Paul goes on to tell us in verse 17 why it's so important. This is what we read earlier. So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's why He gave us the Scriptures, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. As we learn to make Bible reading, reading the Bible, a priority in our lives, as we learn to value it, as we let it penetrate our hearts, it will equip us for the work of the Lord. It helps us to be His light that shines bright to those around us, right? God's called us to be salt and light in this world, and His Word enables us to do that. It will help us love Him, love others, to extend His kingdom, right? Does that sound familiar? It's our mission statement. The very thing that we as Dallas Foursquare Church have been called and equipped to do, right? You see, we as a church, we value God's Word because it will help us carry out the mission that He's called each of us to do. So if we're people who truly value God's Word, what does that mean for us? What do we do? How do we even get started? Well, I'm glad you asked, right? Last January, as I went away for those days to pray and to seek God's direction for this next year, one of the things the Lord He told me, He simply said this: Dallas Foursquare Church needs to read the Word. It's like, oh, well, yeah, that's one of our values, right? If we value God's Word, it should be what we're about. But He said, Dallas Foursquare Church needs to read the Word. We need to be people who truly value His words. And it was in that time that God began to put it on my heart to figure out, how do we do that? How do we as a church, how do I as a pastor challenge, encourage, or even provide a way to do that well? And so God began to put it on my heart to provide a plan, right? And so this morning I want to share with you something that the Lord has given us just as a tool. Okay, as a plan. It's what we call our Ready, Set, Go Bible Reading Plan. And we're going to hand these out at the end of service. I'm going to have the ushers grab them afterwards. And just make sure all of you on your way out, there's one for everyone. There's even extra ones if you have someone that's not here that you want to give one to. And we'll keep making them. This is going to be kind of who we are as a church. If we truly value God's Word, we need to be reading His Word. And so we've created this Ready, Set, Go Bible Reading Plan, and it's just that. And here's my key: is it's a plan, right? I've come to realize that it's a lot harder to accomplish things in life without a plan, Because a lot of people are like, oh, well, I'll just trust in the Lord, and man, it'll just happen, and you know. I do that, and I don't read my Bible, right? But when I have a plan, when I'm like, oh man, I need to be focused, I need to do this, and I have a plan, right, then I begin to follow it. And I'm not a big fan. I know that God may speak to us sometimes, but, oh, all right, I'm going to read the Bible today. Okay, and I know God has spoken through us in those ways, but that's not a good plan, okay? I really believe that God has a plan and how He wants you to read His Word and to get through His Word. Because the reality is, okay, where we always end up, I mean, we always end up in the middle, right? I mean, it's like how many of you open your Bible and go, Revelations, all right, just what I felt God wanted me to go to, right? Or whatever. I mean, how many of us do that? And so we have to have a plan to be able to read through and let God take us through parts of the Bible. And I think it's easier to stay focused and keep moving forward when you do have a plan. And so that's what this is. And I want to say this. I know that there are a lot of plans out there, okay? And I'm not saying this is the perfect plan for you. I wanted to be able to put something in your hands, though, and say, hey, I have a plan of how we as a church can do this. And the reason I'm excited about this is because if we do this as a church, that means every day, every week, we'll kind of be in the same area. And so when I get up in here on Sundays, I'm probably going to maybe share some scriptures or things that have happened throughout the week, and you'll be like, oh, yeah, I was reading that. Yeah, that was good. Or oh, yeah, but the Lord gave me something else on that. And that's the cool thing, because I found that as we read through the Bible, we can read the exact same scriptures, and God speaks different things to each of us. And we're going to talk about here as we get farther into this over the next few weeks or so about me challenging you to then get with people and talk about what you're reading and talk about what God is doing. And that's how we grow in this. But let's not get ahead of ourselves, all right? So I'm excited about this Ready, Set, Go plan. And I just want to kind of explain it to you real quick and what we want to do, okay? So it's called Ready, Set, Go because there's three plans. I'm going to actually, I think we have a slide to go up on the screen, all right? It didn't come up very good. But you kind of see how it's laid out. You can't actually read the words from here. You'll be able to read them on here. But it breaks out, so like we're in September now, and it's 1 through 30. There's 30 days in September. So today, you would go to the 20th, which if you could read there, it says Daniel 6 for the ready. And that's the ready reading. And what the ready reading is it's about 5 minutes of reading. You know, 3 to 5 minutes, really. Just depends on the day. Some it's smaller, some it's greater. So it's just getting a little bit of reading in. And maybe you're like, man, I don't have time to really, but I could start with that. I'll do 3 minutes in the morning. You know, boom, 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 whatever it may be. So the ready is just a short. It's also good for kids. I love to have our youth and our kids involved, and so they could start by that. The set is just a little bit more extensive. It takes you up to about 10 to 15 minutes of reading. And then if you're really adventurous and say, man, I really need to know God's Word, there is the go part of this plan. And that, literally, it's a Bible reading that will take you through the entire Bible once and the New Testament twice, okay? But that's going to take you about 20, 30 minutes a day, maybe more depending on if you're a slow or fast reader, all right, to get through that. But it's just, as Reddy said, it's to meet you at your level. If you're like, man, I really want to read God's Word, but I just don't have a lot of time. Now, part of that is it's making it a priority. We have to make it a priority. But for some of us, okay, if I just start little, I'm going to just start with the ready. I'm just going to read. You know, this one day, like right here, it's 12 verses, right, on January 7th, okay? And sometimes it's a little bit more, sometimes it's a little less. But it's this ready, set, go plan. And here's my encouragement to you. So it's reading the Bible. But then I want to challenge you to take it one step farther, and that is journaling. And some of you are going, journaling? I don't journal. I'm a man, okay? I was a United States Marine, okay? So if you want to be more manly than me, all right, I journal, okay? So if a United States Marine can journal, then any other man out here, you can journal, okay? So you don't have to call it journaling. You can just call it deep thoughts with a real man, okay, or whatever you want to call it, all right. But I want to encourage you because here's what I believe. I think when we write stuff down, we remember it more. And when we actually take time, what I've noticed is that sometimes I read, but I just read because I want to read. And I want you to do that. I didn't put check marks. You know, some of these Bible reading plans have the little boxes there to put your check marks. I purposefully did not do that. This isn't about checking a box, okay? I don't want you to check a box when you're getting into the Word. If you miss a few days, don't go back and try, oh gosh, now I got to catch up. No, forget it. Pick up where you left off and move forward. And that's my encouragement to you. I don't want it to be about checking a box. And the thing I've realized is if I'm just trying to read, I don't really retain. And so when I read and I know I'm going to think about what to write, it makes me receive more of what I'm reading. And in the back here, there's just a real simple, some of you maybe heard it, the SOAP method of journaling. It's real simple. It's Scripture. It's S-O-A-P. Scripture, observation, application, and prayer. And it's simply Scripture. Write the main Scripture or Scripture that stood out to you. So as you read that, just look for something to pop out to you. Okay? Then observation. Well, what popped out? Why did it pop out to you? And then application. Because then you're like, okay, it popped out to me for a reason. God showed it to me for a reason. How do I apply that to my life? How am I different today because of what I just read? How am I going to try to be different this week because of what I read? Whatever, that's the application. And then a simple prayer, just Lord, in what you spoke to me today, help me to yada, 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 whatever it may be. This is a tool for you, okay? Maybe you have a tool and that's great. The key is that God is challenging us to value His Word. And if we truly value it, it means that we have to open it up. We have to get into it. And this is as much for you guys as it is for me. Because I get into it, like I said, every week to study for my message. But I know God wants to speak and challenge me in the Word that's not the stuff that I'm bringing to you. And which means I got to open up the Word and I got to be reading through it. So I'm going to throw this out. You guys can challenge me. You can say, hey, Darren, how's your Bible reading coming, okay? Challenge me in that. Because when we are held accountable in that, it helps us to grow. Because I want to be someone that is faithfully reading through these things and allowing God's Word to penetrate my heart so that I can become who God's called me to be. And that's what God is saying. Dallas Fort Worth Church needs to be a church that reads the Bible. That we're becoming who He's called us to be. You see, we have everything we need in this church to be capable to do what God's called us to do if we're doing what God has called us to do. Does that make sense? We are capable of doing great and mighty things, each of us, but it comes from getting into the Word, allowing God to strengthen us and help us to become who He's called us to be. And so that's what this is about. If you have a plan, if you have something you do, that's great. Go for it. Do it. But I wanted to put something in your hands that gave you an opportunity to be able to walk through the Bible and have a plan to read. We'll have these on the way out. You can also, if you go online, in our resource section online, it says Bible reading. If you click on that, it will kind of take you to basically like the front page of this, the kind of how important it is, the SOAP stuff. And there's a link that will actually pull up these pages for you to be able to, you can print them off yourself or just have them to look up and read. But the key is that we value God's Word, right? And that we're reading it. And as we do that, then we'll know what to do, right? We'll know what not to do. And we'll know what to do when we didn't do what we should have done in the first place. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your Word. And Lord, we really want to be people who value Your Word. And I know, Lord, it's so easy for us to say that. It's so easy to say, yes, we value this. But then we got to really look at our lives and say, is it what we value? Because if we value something, we give time to it. And I know myself, Lord, I haven't given as much time to the Word as You desire me to. And I want to be someone who truly gives time to reading Your Word, Lord, who truly does value Your Word in my life. Because, Lord, I know it's life. Lord, I know that the things that have given me strength, Lord, through my life are the Scriptures that I memorized and learned as a young kid. And Your Word says it will not return void. And I know that those things that You've instilled in me when I was young have helped me to this day. But, Lord, I can't live on the past. I have to continue to grow and become who You've called me to be. And I pray that for each of us, Lord. May we allow Your Word to penetrate our hearts, to challenge us to be who You've called us to be, Lord. And so we give this to You, Lord. May You just encourage us and challenge each of us where we're at, Lord. Use this reading plan, Lord, whether it's this one or something else, Lord, to just help us to be better at being the men and women of God that You've called us to be, opening up Your Word and allowing it to speak to us. We just thank You and we praise You for these things. We just give You this day. In Jesus' name, amen.